Open All Night, a Due South story by Spuffy Duds, read by Zabira. So, you ever make it with a guy, Fraser? Ray didn't mean to do this tonight. Had no plans to shoot their whole partnership all to shit, probably. They'd been ungodly late at the 2-7, slogging through paperwork after a big bust, and Ray kept telling Fraser he didn't have to help, and Fraser kept saying things like, "Judging by your typing skills, Ray, apparently I do." And when they walked out, Ray was tired and groggy and out of it, or he would have noticed that Fraser was steering them toward what Ray had started to think of as the Hobbit Diner, and voted really hard to go somewhere else, because the Hobbit Diner had pretty good food, but it was all booths, no tables, and the booths were designed for a much shorter species. Fraser always seemed okay with it, but then Fraser slept on a cot. For such a big guy, he seemed happy to just perch in the tiniest spaces and stay there. Maybe it was a Canadian thing. Oh, let me take up as little space as possible to be polite. If I need to turn around, I'll just rotate in place. He could probably dance on the head of a pin, Ray thought sleepily, and where the hell did that come from? But Ray, now, he was all legs, and one of them must be hollow, his mom used to say, watching him eat his 7th hot dog. The only way he could get by in the damn Bilbo booths was either sitting sideways, knees bent up and feet on the cushions, which made the old and scary waitresses give him the evil eye, or end up in this weird sort of alternating knees thing with Fraser under the table, like meshed gears. Fraser just insisted it was the only diner in Chicago that used buckwheat in their pancakes. But they were in the door of the diner before Ray got his head together to protest, and God, he didn't need this tonight. Usually he was on a high after they finished off a case like this, but this one had taken forever. Weeks of late nights, and he'd started to think, Jesus, even if we get these guys off the street, they'll just be other guys moving in with business propositions for the runaways at the bus stops. And he knew you couldn't think that way and keep doing anybody any good, but he was worn out. And he didn't need to be bumping into Fraser under the table and watching him cut up his pancakes all brisk and efficient, and watching him eat, and watching him drink, and just watching him. He didn't need to be wondering again whether he was ever going to bring it up, whether Fraser was remotely interested in that kind of thing, and, if he was, whether Ray was anywhere near good-looking enough, or smart enough, or anything enough. Fraser ordered pancakes, and Ray ordered whatever omelet was at the top of the list. And by the time the food came, he was just sick with how familiar this felt, because it was Stella again, early and late. The middle was fine. The middle was what he tried to remember. But early was, am I good enough? And late was, I'm not anymore, am I? Ray was starting to feel like a dog, and not one like Deef with at least a little fucking dignity. One of those little yippy ones that was looking at you every second going, you like me? You still like me? Huh? And he was so fucking tired of it. And he opened his mouth. So, you ever make it with a guy, Fraser? Fraser finished chewing, put his fork down, said, make what? But Ray'd seen the little wobble in his movement. He actually clinked the fork slightly against his plate, putting it down. That was a giant spit take for Fraser. That was Roger Rabbit's jaw hitting the ground. Fraser knew what he was talking about. Don't pull that shit, Ray said. What are you talking? Don't, Ray said. And he sounded awful, high-pitched and choky. He sounded just like he did before Stella gave him a pitying look and shut the door. Or before she gave him a pitying look and let him in, which always turned out to be worse. Fraser didn't give him that look, though. Didn't look at him at all. Kept studying his pancakes. So, Ray guessed, that was an answer right there. Sorry, he said. And he'd be getting up and going any second now, as soon as he got enough energy. Any energy at all. He used to have so much of it. Too much. Where'd it go? Ray, Fraser said, softly, still not looking up. But he shifted in his seat, and Ray realized that under the table, where their knees were Ray, Fraser, that was shifting too. Fraser's inside leg was pressed out against Ray's outside leg, and Fraser's outside leg was pressed in against Ray's inside leg, and the legs were complicated under there. Ray considered things for a minute. Fraser wasn't looking at him yet, was apparently studying the atoms of his food now, but he was blushing, all up his neck and along the jaw, and the knees were not accidental. Ray took a deep breath, slid a hand under the table and cupped it over one of Fraser's warm kneecaps. And Fraser looked up. He looked a little panicked, but he just nodded at Ray, like they'd settled something, and went back to eating his pancakes. This was weird. Ray'd had all these fantasies. A lot of them, yeah, where Fraser made the first move and he didn't have to. But in all the ones where Ray managed to speak up, the second he got any kind of a yes, and he always got a yes, they were fantasies, it was all hot and sweaty and now. But he was so fucking tired, and it felt so good. Just his hand curved around that spot, that he felt like he could sit forever in this stupid diner watching Fraser eat. The end. This has been Open All Night, a Due South story by Spuffy Duds. Spuffy Duds' other stories can be found at her live journal. What They Needed, a Due South story by Spuffy Duds, read by Zabira. Ray was surprised how hard it was to stand up, to leave the booth, even though he thought they were maybe headed for good things tonight. He'd gotten used to the heat and pressure of Fraser's knees so quickly, and now that he was standing up and Fraser was standing up over there, away, his legs were cold. But they split the bill, and Fraser, like always, insisted on leaving a better tip than the kinda cranky waitress really deserved, and then they were out on the sidewalk, heading back toward the station and the GTO. They were doing the usual bump and jostle, and somewhere in there Fraser actually threw in a hip check. Ha! That was new, Ray thought. And kind of fun, he thought, before thinking, also, I fell down. Shit, he said. His feet never tangled up like that. I'm so sorry, Ray, Fraser said, giving him a hand up. I was, over-exuberant. Nah, it's just the last few weeks catching up with me. I don't think I'm walking straight to start with. Fraser took Ray's chin in his hand firmly, also new and fun, but then gave him a concerned look. You are one sleepless night away from being ill, Ray, he said. Ray started to protest, started to say, no, I do not need to sleep tonight. Everything is different, and I want to play. But his eyeballs ached, and he was having to think about walking, and yeah, he didn't want to maybe have the first time with Fraser on a night when he was so tired he was going to suck. Well, suck at sucking. Whatever. Fraser actually suggested taking the wheel, and Ray said, never been that tired, Fraze, but thanks. He turned the radio to a thrashy station with a Pixie song going, bopped his head, managed to stay upright until they got to his place and up the stairs. But then he was done, actually swaying, and he mumbled, "Sorry," but Fraser had his arm around his waist, sort of marching him to the bed, and then clothes were coming off. His? Whose? And there was a pillow, and Ray was gone. When he woke up, the bedroom had really late morning, maybe almost lunchtime light, and he panicked for a second before he remembered it was his day off. But not Fraser's day off. And Fraser was next to him, in the bed, curled up against Ray's back. "Hey," he said, really not wanting to, but not wanting to get Fraser in trouble either. "Hey, the consulate." "I called in sick," Fraser said into his hair. "Oh, wow." Ray started to turn to face him and then realized that he tasted and smelled like he'd been asleep for, clock squint, 10 hours. He scooted out of the bed instead, turned to look at Fraser, who was still curved around the empty Ray space. "Nice. Wearing those white boxers." Ray checked quickly. Yep, he was down to his boxer briefs. "Thanks for, what was he gonna say? Tucking me in? I will be right back. Really, right back." He brushed his teeth speedily and then jumped in the shower, soaped and shampooed like he was still listening to the Pixies. And the whole time he was thinking, "Dumbass, you're giving him a chance to think. When you get out, he'll be dressed and edging toward the door. You should have jumped him no matter what you tasted like." He towel-scrubbed his hair and wrapped the dampish towel around his waist and opened the bathroom door. Fraser had not gotten more dressed, had gotten less dressed, which was not dressed at all. He was lying on top of the covers, looking at Ray, naked, and touching himself. "Bruh," Ray said, and Fraser looked away, bit his lip, looked shy. And how did he do that? "I'm all embarrassed. I can't look at you. And by the way, here is my dick, which I am stroking." Jesus. Ray made it over to the bed somehow. He dropped to his knees beside it and just, God, buried his face in Fraser, kissed his stomach and chest over and over. Soft skin over his ribs, a little salty, good. Fraser was making and ah noises, and his arm was still moving. Hey, let me," Ray said. But he watched for a minute just to see what Fraser liked. And Fraser was doing just the lightest touches, slow and feathery, teasing himself, waiting for Ray. Ray could not possibly keep doing it like that. Not today. He took a deep, shivery breath, pushed his damp towel off, and climbed in beside Fraser, nudging him over. He snugged one arm under Fraser's neck, pressed his own cock up against the side of Fraser's hip, and had to stop there for a moment, thinking, "Not yet, not yet." He tasted Fraser's neck, ear, and then pulled their mouths together and kissed him for a long time. And that was very good, but it was even better when he finally grabbed Fraser's wrist, moved his hand away, took over. And he wasn't teasing. He was serious, and Fraser got noisy. It didn't take long. Fraser's noises got louder and longer and almost angry sounding. And then there was one that was small and surprised, and Fraser was coming all over Ray's hand. Ray watched him and grinned, because he'd done that, made Fraser loud and happy, done something Fraser needed. And now Ray needed very much. He'd been rocking against Fraser's hip the whole time, but that was getting less, nice, and more, oh God, something must happen. He moved his sticky hand away gently, threw it across Fraser's ribs, and pulled him in tighter, rocked harder and faster, and soon was twitching hot all over his side, going into his neck. Yeah. They lay there for a while, breathing slower, tangled together and drying sticky. But Ray was in no hurry to move, because Fraser was running fingers through his hair, kissing his forehead. Finally, Fraser sighed, said, "We should probably shower." "Or we might get stuck together permanently," Ray said, and bit his lip to keep from adding, "I wouldn't mind that." "I wouldn't actually mind that," Fraser said, softly, and Ray decided he was never getting out of bed. The end. This has been What They Needed, a Dusal story by Spuffy Duds. Spuffy Duds' other stories can be found at her live journal.